Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever, and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you in peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, let us continue our worship service with the singing of Psalter 16, verse 1, 4, and 5. Wholehearted thanksgiving to thee will I bring. In praise of thy marvelous deeds I will sing. In thee I will joy and exultingly cry. Thy name I will praise, O Jehovah, Most High, 1, 4, and 5 of Psalter 16.
Thank you.
The scripture reading for this evening hour can be found in the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, beginning at verse 1 through into chapter 3, verse 5. But first let us do confession of the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You mentioned Song of Solomon, chapter 2. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. As the lily among the thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Stay me with flagons, comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up, nor awake my love, till he please. The voice of my beloved. Behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. My beloved spake and said unto me, Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For, lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth, the time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. O my dove that art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies until the day break and the shadows flee away. Turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bether. By night on my bed I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. I will rise now and go about the city in the streets, and in the broad ways I will seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. The watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, Saw ye him whom my soul loveth? It was but a little that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him and would not let him go until I had brought him into my mother's house, and into the chamber of her that conceived me. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the roes and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up nor awake my love till he please. Thus far the reading of God's holy word.
Congregation, we wish to give thanks and prayer that the Lord has spared in an accident this morning the Martin Druger's family. Let us pray together and ask for his blessing and his presence. Almighty, eternal, merciful, and gracious Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, thou who art that covenant, faithful, keeping Jehovah, thou art that one who lives and reigns above all things, thou who hast created us, and thou upholds all things, and thou holds our life. And Lord, then we are reminded again of how quickly things can change. And in thy mercy, thou hast spared a family in this morning. Lord, remember them. May they be given broken, thankful hearts, that it has not ended so differently, that they were not plunged into mourning because of the passing of one of them or all of them. It's thy mercy, Lord. May we acknowledge thee for thy guiding, keeping, and protecting hand over them. And Lord, thou hast brought us again here into thy house in this evening again to hear what thou hast to say unto us. And Lord, each time is a new time. Each time we need thy help to preach. We need thy help to listen. Without thee, we can do nothing. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, then, that thou would rend the heavens and come down among us. Give all that is needed to preach and to listen. And may it be to the honor, to the glory of thy most holy and worthy name. Oh, that thy kingdom may come, that through the foolishness of preaching, that sinners would be born again, and that thy people may be instructed and led in that way of the most holy faith. Lord, in thy mercy and goodness, in this morning we have heard thy word, but also there were those who also had the opportunity to participate in the Lord's Supper. Lord, thou knowest how it is in all their hearts. Care for them. They need further instruction. And thou art that good shepherd. Thou art that prophet, priest, and king. And thou wilt care for thy bride. Oh, we beg thee then instruct each one. Thou knowest how it is in their hearts. Remember those who did not attend, and maybe they should have for various reasons, and maybe feel guilty they have denied the Master. Care for them also, Lord. Remember the whole congregation. Oh, we beg thee tonight that in this reflection servant, in this sermon, that there be a word for each one. For those who are yet lost, dead in sins and trespasses, oh Lord, that thou would shoot an arrow into their heart, and that they would become wounded, that they would become lost, that they would become guilty. Oh, that they may come to see and become a beggar for that grace that thou hast. Oh, that they may cry unto thee, that grace that thou revealest unto the saints, reveal it unto me also. Have mercy on me, Lord. Teach me, renew me, draw me, lead me to that place, that I also may sit in that place of the bride, in that shade, in the apple tree, and that I may be fed with those fruits. Oh, show me my great need and lead me to that only place and feed me, Lord. Remember then also all thy dear people, Lord. Care for them. Thou knowest how it is in their hearts. Remember those who maybe it was very quiet at the table and yet longing for a visit. Oh, wilt thou visit them, Lord, in thy mercy. May tonight, may it be a blessing yet for them. We beg and pray thee, Lord, that thou would give, that through thy word and the Spirit, that sinners would be born again, but not only born again, that they may be led, guided, taught by thee, and that they may be seeking thee, and that seekers that seek thee with their whole heart may find thee. Oh, that thou would yet bring them into that chamber where the banner over them is love, and that they may be comforted with those fruits that thou alone hast through thy Son. Oh, wilt thou work mightily and apply thy precious word and the gospel by the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord? Oh, we pray that thou would remember then all of us. Oh, give that we may take heed that we only have one life and that we have a soul, soul lost, all lost, and we need to be reconciled with thee, the God against whom we have sinned, that Almighty God, who will by no means clear the guilty, who must have his justice satisfied, who must be paid, and who demands perfection, because thou hast created us capable and made us perfect in thy image, and it's our guilt. We have forsaken thee. We have plunged ourselves into misery, unable and unwilling to return unto thee. Oh, we beg thee then for thy free and sovereign grace. Lord, work mightily, conquer hearts, renew hearts, take away hearts of stone and give hearts of flesh. And remember that people, that poor and needy people, thy dear bride, those wretched ones. Oh, teach them and instruct them. Oh, may we come to be living like Mary, who is sitting at thy feet, needing to be instructed by thee day by day. Lord, we beg and pray thee that thou would then give thy blessing. Lord, unto whom else can we go? Thou alone hast the words of eternal life. Pass us not by, Lord. Give us yet a good hour in thy house tonight. Thou hast held through in this morning, and it was a blessing because of thy mercy and because of that application of the Holy Spirit. But Lord, we beg thee, wilt thou yet remember those who are still thirsty and hungry? May there yet be a little water. May there yet be a crumb from the Master's table. Lord, we beg and pray thee that thou would remember then the whole congregation. Remember us as parents. Help us, Lord, to live faithful unto that promise that we have made unto thee to raise our children and to instruct them to the utmost of our power. Oh, give that we as fathers may be those faithful prophet, priest, and kings in our home, and that we may lead our families, that we may open thy word, read thy word, and pray with our family, and that thou would bless the means thou hast given us. Lord, we beg and pray thee, remember then also the great need upon this earth. Thou art the King of the church, and thou knowest so many pulpits are without an ambassador, without an under-shepherd. So many congregations lack an ambassador sent by thee to proclaim the precious gospel, but also death in Adam and life in Christ. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, as thou hast said in thy word, that we are to pray unto thee, that thou would thrust out laborers. Oh, we beg thee, call men with thy grace, and that they must come forward, and that thou would gladden us with thy deeds. Remember those in our denomination that struggle. Lord, am I called? What must I do? Oh, Lord, teach, lead, guide, and open the way if it is in thy will, and that we may rejoice in thy works, in thy mercy unto us. But Lord, remember the need throughout the entire world among Jew and Gentile. Oh, wilt thou send out laborers to proclaim the precious word of God through thy covenant people, but also through all the nations. Lord, we beg thee that thou would provide in Bolivia a church worker. Thou knowest the need. Oh, wilt thou call and give opening and freedom and to surrender and to come forward, and that a man that of thy choosing may be sent out. Remember the need in Peru. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, wilt thou also provide for that people, that they may have a servant of thee, a man, a sinner, taught by thee, instructed by thee, to guide them and to lead them in the precious truths of thy word. Lord, may we lay before thee the government of this nation. Lord, we beg thee that thou would convert them, that thou would give them a heart with the tender fear of the Lord, and that they may desire to serve thee, to obey thee, and to rule this nation according to thy word and according to thy will and ways. O, wilt thou then convert the prime minister and all those whom thou hast called to rule over us, that it may be a blessing for this nation. Lord, we confess all our sins as a nation. We sin against all thy commandments, but Lord, also the principles of the truth of thy word, of life, of marriage, of what thou hast created us, male and female. O Lord, have mercy upon us and give respect for life from the moment of conception until natural death. Lord, we pray and ask thee to remember also the education of our children in our homes and in the school. Lord, bless it. We pray and ask thee that thou would provide God-fearing teachers, and that they may teach out of their heart to the children, to the students. And we beg thee that thou would give, that the students, that our children may be born again, and that they may have the tender fear of the Lord in their hearts. Have mercy, Lord. Do it for thy name's sake and for their eternal welfare. We beg and pray thee, remember prodigal sons and daughters that have left the truth, that are living with their baptized forehead in the world. O Lord, we beg thee, work in them, draw them, renew them, bring them to themselves, as thou hast brought that prodigal son to himself, and that they may return not only to church, but that they may have a new heart, that they may be born again, that they may become seekers of thee. O Lord, have mercy. We beg, give true repentance and true faith, gifts of thee, graces of thee, worked by thee through thy word and the Spirit. And so, Lord, we lay all these needs before thee. Have mercy upon us, Lord. Give us a good hour of reflection. Oh, may we all be given a ear to hear the voice, thy voice through thy word, and give, Lord, that it may be a blessing to the conversion of sinners and to the instruction of thy dear people. Lord, pass us not by. Have mercy upon us. Give us an hour in thy favor. Cast out the evil one who would like to hinder in the preaching and in the listening. Lord, give Aaron's and Ur's, and that there may be cries and sighs unto thee, and that thou would bless thy precious word to the salvation of sinners, to the glory of thy name. Lord, have mercy on us. Wash and cleanse us of all our sins, we beg and ask, for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. Congregation, let us continue now with singing from Psalter 427, the first three stanzas. Let all exalt Jehovah's goodness, for most compassionate is he. His mercy, excellent in fullness, endureth to eternity. Let Israel praise Jehovah's goodness and say, exalt his majesty. His mercy, excellent in fullness, endureth to eternity. Psalter 427, the first three stanzas, and the collections for this evening is the first for the church and the second for the benevolent fund. May the Lord bless you and your gifts. dear congregation, especially dear communicants. The Shulamite, the bride, was seeking the bridegroom, desiring his nearness, desiring his comfort. And we read in the beginning of the Song of Solomon, "Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth." And she cried unto him because she wanted to be near him. "Draw me, and we will run after thee." And he draws his bride unto himself. He brought her into the chamber near himself. And today also, he draws his bride. He teaches them by the law of their wretchedness, of their sinfulness, but he also draws with those cords of love to himself, but blessing them with the fruit that is in him. He draws them to the gospel, and he draws them also to himself to sit under his wings at the table to be fed by him. That bride, we read, was seeking him, longing to find him. And she found him, as we read in the beginning of the Song of Solomon, the first three verses. Did you experience something of what we read in the Song of Solomon 2, verse 4 and 5? "He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Stay me with flagons, comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love." He comforted them. You see that picture? Putting his arms around them, of that dear bride, of comforting her, of feeding her with those apples, with those fruits of himself. "Stay me with flagons." And therefore, she experienced what we read. "His left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me." Did you feel a little something in the gospel, in the preaching already? Or were you able, given freedom, to come to the table and you felt a little embracing of his arm around you, of those sweet fruits? And therefore, as that bride, you then came to that place, what we read in Song of Solomon 3, verse 4. "I held him and would not let him go." Is that you this morning? Were you sitting at the table and he embraced you, so to speak? He came near and he comforted you, and you held him. You didn't want to let him go, so to speak. You didn't want to leave that table. You wanted to be kept near him. You wanted to live near, tasting that love and that sweetness that he can give. And yet, dear bride, we live in a world with many dangers. We couldn't stay at that table, or we couldn't stay at church listening to the precious gospel. We had to leave. We had to go home. We have to live in this world where there's so many dangers, sin, temptations, and Satan that goes about as a roaring lion, and we have our own flesh. We need to be alert. We need to be watching. The flesh is, the spirit is willing, and the flesh is weak. We need lessons. We need instruction. Remember what we learned in the past couple weeks about the bride? What did we learn about her? We learned in chapter 5 that she has eaten. She has tasted. She has drunk. She had comforts from the bridegroom. She had true saving faith in him, and he cared for her. He fed her. But she became spiritual slothful. She became slothful. That's a danger also for the bride today. They need instruction, further instruction in going on in this life, in this world, with all the sin, all the temptations, and their own flesh. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he has precious instruction tonight also. So please, may I ask you to open your Bible to Luke chapter 10. To Luke chapter 10, and we will consider what we read in Luke 10, verse 38 through 42. Luke 10, verse 38 through 42. "And now it came to pass, As they went, he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. So with the Lord's help, we would like to consider the following theme and three thoughts. The theme, but one thing is needful. One thing is needful. And that's a message for all of us. The first thought is, what is that one thing needful? And then I will speak to the whole congregation, but then also to speak in the context, especially as the Lord Jesus is instructing his dear sheep. So what is the one thing needful? Second, Martha distracted from the one thing needful. And third, Mary attentive to the one thing needful. And so with the Lord's help, one thing needful. What is that one thing? Mary distracted from that one thing, and Martha distracted from that one thing, and Mary attentive to that one thing needful. And so please keep your Bible open to Luke chapter 10, as we will be looking at different verses. So what is the one thing needful? Children, teenagers, what is the one thing needful? The Lord Jesus Christ says, but one thing is needful. What is this essential, one needful thing? So first, I would like to speak to you who are yet lost, who are yet dead in sins and trespasses, unconverted. You have a great need. What is your need? Well, maybe we could make a long list of all kinds of needs, and yet there's one thing needful for your never-dying soul. What is that one thing? Children, teenagers, adults, what is the one thing needful for you who are yet lost? The Lord Jesus said to Nicodemus, he taught that one thing needful, ye must be born again. And he taught also in preaching, when he began to preach, he taught that one thing needful, that ye must repent and that ye must believe in the gospel. And so my unconverted friend, you who are yet lost, you must be born again. You must repent. You must believe in the gospel, or you will be eternally lost. But now I'd like to speak to another group of people with all the love of my heart. You who have a church right to attend the Lord's Supper, but who have not. And I know the division is not perfect, and yet I must address you with love in my heart. You who did not attend, do you understand what you are really confessing? What are you confessing? You're confessing, I do not know the man. I do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. You are confessing, I do not have grace. You are confessing by that, I am not ready to die. I am not ready to meet my Maker. And you must die. And you will meet your Maker. My friend, you have a great need. You need grace. You need the grace of the free and sovereign grace of an almighty triune God. Oh, you need the precious Savior. That's what you need. Because we read in 1 John 5 verse 12, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. May you feel it tonight. May you not just be comfortable. And I thank you for your honesty. If you could not come and you did not come, but I cannot let you go with that. I must tell you, you must be born again. You must repent. You must believe. You need that Savior of sinners, or you will be lost. You need grace. And may this put you on your knees as a lost sinner, begging him for grace. And that you would cry to him, that grace thou revealest unto the saints, Lord, reveal it unto me. I'm lost. But second, in the contents text, the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to his bride. He's speaking to his sheep. He's speaking to his beloved people. And he says, but one thing is needful. What is this one thing? What is that essential one thing that he is speaking about? Is he referring to himself? Well, with much reverence, the Lord Jesus Christ is not a thing. He's a person, a holy person. He is man and God. So what is he speaking about? What is he speaking about? Is he speaking about regeneration in this context to those people who are sitting there? To Mary and Martha especially? No, because they have God's grace. They are born again. And we read in John 11, verse 5, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. They are born again. They are his dear people. So what is this one thing needful that the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking about in this context? Is it justification then? Well, these two people, Mary and Martha, are children of God, and they have confessed their faith, as we know, in John 11. And true saving faith connects to the Savior. They are justified already. So what is that one thing needful in this chapter? What is that one thing needful that the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking about? The Lord Jesus Christ is referring to godliness. He's referring to a close life with the Lord Jesus Christ. To live completely dependent upon him, close to him, at his feet, day by day. Of hearing his voice every day. Of being in prayer with him in sweet communion. Communing with him in prayer. The lesson in these verses is for the bride not to live as Martha, but to live as Mary. Too often, his bride, his sheep of the Good Shepherd, are distracted with many things and are living as Martha. And now I'd like to read you something from Spurgeon. Yes, from Spurgeon. Listen, please. In order to enter heaven, it is necessary that our nature should become like the nature of Christ. This earth is for those who bear the image of the first Adam. But the new heaven and the new earth are for those who bear the image of the second Adam. This must be wrought in us by regeneration and developed by acquaintance with him. How? How does he continue? By sitting at his feet and beholding him, we become changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of God. So what is the one thing needful? Unconverted friends, that one thing needful is that you have God's free and sovereign grace, that you are delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear son, and have his grace, that you're brought to true repentance and true faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what is that one thing needful for his people, for those lambs, for his sheep, for his children? That they live a life of sanctification. That they live a close life at his feet. That they don't become slothful like that bride, as we read in Song of Solomon chapter 5. And so now we will go to our second thought. We will consider two children of God. Martha distracted from the one thing needful. So in this history, we see Martha, a sheep of the Good Shepherd. She has love for the Lord Jesus Christ, and she has love for the children of God. How do we see that, children, adults, congregation? How do we see that in this chapter? By her hospitality. She received the Lord Jesus Christ and those disciples into her home, as we read in verse 38. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. So we read in this context about hospitality. Hospitality. Hospitality is a qualification of those who are called to be in the offices in the church. Yes, it is. We read in Titus 1, verse 7 and 8, for a bishop must be blameless, and then listen, a lover of hospitality. But it is also a command to all of God's children. Listen to what we read in 1 Peter 4, verse 9. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. And so we see in the context, Martha loves the Lord Jesus Christ and the children of God, those disciples, and her home is open. She is hospitable. She welcomes, she warmly welcomes the Lord Jesus Christ and the disciples into her home. May I ask you, is he invited into your home? Is he? Is he invited? Would you receive him with a warm welcome into your home? Or would you rather not have him enter into your home? Because he will see with his all-seeing eye, as he sees already, what is in your home. What you focus on. Or is he welcome? My friends, do you know something about hospitality? But more, in this context, is the Lord Jesus Christ welcome to come into your home? Do you long for it as the bride? They would come. They would visit you. Martha loves the Lord Jesus Christ, and we see that by the hospitality that she welcomes him into her home, and I may believe with a very warm reception. And now we need to go through some important points in this chapter to understand the one thing needful. It's interesting, in the beginning of this chapter, we read about the customs at that time. The Lord Jesus is instructing his church then for the rest of the history of the world. For example, he told his disciples to go out and to visit people. And those that received him into their homes in peace would give them food and drink. We read that in the beginning of this chapter in verse 7. And eight, in the same house, remain eating and drinking such things as they give. And then verse 8, and into whosoever city ye enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. So now we think about Martha. Martha receives into her home not only two men, as you do often in house visitation, but she receives, we could say it with much respect, she receives the whole consistory. She receives, we may believe, 13 men to come into her house. What a lot of work. What an expense. The Lord Jesus Christ and his disciples had been traveling. They are probably tired, thirsty, and hungry. And Martha receives all of them into her house. They are welcomed, as we may believe, that she welcomes them with the love of her heart into her home. And we are certain also that her sister Mary also welcomes them into her home. And that Mary also helps Martha in preparing food for them and drink. Why do we know that? Because Martha did not complain that Mary did not help at all, but that Mary had stopped helping. Mary was helping, but she stopped. Look in your Bible in verse 40. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Do you not care that Mary, my sister, has stopped helping me? But we also learn from the context, which is important, that there was a time to eat and drink together. There was a time to prepare food. There was a time of hospitality and to care for those that come in the house. It's not sin to enjoy the gifts that God has given us. It's our responsibility. I think of mothers. It's your responsibility to care for the family, to provide food. And fathers, it's our first responsibility to work, to provide for our families. And what a cross if you're not able, if you don't have health. But what else do we learn from the context which is important to understand the one thing needful? What happened when the disciples were visiting? They were to speak. They were to receive what the people give, but they were also called to speak. What do we read in Luke 10, verse 9? And say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. So the Lord gave instruction. He gave instruction of what? Simply stated, the Lord Jesus Christ gave instruction to his disciples of how, we would say, how house visitation was to be done. It was as if the Lord Jesus Christ said, now listen, disciples, you need to go and visit them in their houses. And they are going to give you food to drink. But then you have to hand out food to them. You need to give them food. What food? What is food for those poor souls? To bring them the word of God. To proclaim unto them sin and salvation, hell and heaven. To proclaim of the only way to be reconciled unto God. He instructed them, go and speak, preach about the kingdom of God, that you must be in the kingdom of God, that you must be born again to be in the kingdom of God. Speak unto them that they must be born again, but also tell them that there's one who has power to take away the hearts of stone and to give them a heart of flesh. Tell them that I have power, that I'm the mighty Savior. I can do everything for them that they need. Tell them that there's only one way back to God. Tell them that's in me. Tell them they must be forgiven, that they're sinful and they need their sins forgiven. Tell them that only way of forgiveness is in me through my blood. Tell them I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Tell them sincerely that I invite them to come to that precious Savior. Tell them everything. Tell them the whole counsel of God. Proclaim unto them the word. Present food for them. Don't only delight in taking things for the body, but give things unto them for my word, for their souls. And so we conclude they were instructed to preach the gospel, to preach law and gospel in those homes. There was a time to eat and to drink, and there was a time to proclaim the word of God. There was a time for the body, and there was a time especially also for the soul. And this is a good pattern to follow also for us, office bearers. When we visit people, we may enjoy, have a little coffee break. But then there's time also to open the word, to proclaim unto them the word. What a task for us as office bearers. But also fathers, that you would be faithful in your homes. What a responsibility. You are to be a prophet, a priest in the king. You are not only provide for your family, that they may have food for their bodies. You also need to open the word of God and proclaim the word of God unto them. Listen to what we read in Matthew 4, verse 4. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And so we see in this context these important details to understand the one thing needful. So Martha is commendable for her hospitality, for her love, and for her willingness to care for the Lord Jesus Christ and his disciples. But Martha is distracted from the one thing needful. Listen to what we read in verse 40. But Martha was cumbered about much serving. So what does that word mean? Cumbered. It means distracted. It means distracted, taken away from the one thing needful. She was distracted from something else. Her extra worry, her extra care about serving pulled her away from focusing on something that was so much more important for her never dying soul. I think when we read this story, maybe we empathize with Martha. It seems, maybe, when we read it, she's working hard, she's caring for the Lord Jesus and the disciples, and it seems, maybe, that Mary's sitting there, and she's not helping. Imagine, ladies, Lady A, imagine if we all would come for lunch tomorrow, and many of you are working hard to feed the whole congregation, and there's a group of ladies just sitting in the corner, relaxed, talking, chatting, and not helping at all. You would become very frustrated. But is this the case in this chapter? Should we empathize with Martha? Are we right with empathizing with Martha, thinking Mary is not doing what she should and that she needs correction? No, absolutely not. Martha became distracted. And she became so frustrated that finally she goes to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you read verse 40, the language implies that Martha is very upset with Mary. And she's even upset with the Lord Jesus Christ. And may I say it simply, Lord, dost thou not see? Do you not see? Mary, she's not helping me. Lord, rebuke her, correct her. She's asking for the Lord Jesus to correct Mary. Verse 40. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. Was Martha correct in asking the Lord Jesus to correct Mary? How did the Lord Jesus Christ respond to what Martha said about her sister Mary? Did he reprimand Mary? Let's read verse 41 and 42 again. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. Martha, Martha, do you hear it? I hear a good shepherd caring for his sheep, kindly, compassionately, patiently instructing that sheep that was distracted from that one thing needful. Why? Why does he reprimand Martha? What is she doing wrong? You say she's doing many things good. She's caring. She's caring for the Lord Jesus Christ. She's caring for his body. She's caring for the church of God. She's serving. She's helping. She's feeding them. She's doing a good thing. But she allows a good thing to become a distraction from the one thing needful. Remember that all these visits, there was food served. And then the gospel was preached. The gospel was preached. Martha allowed the serving to get in the way of hearing the word of God. Martha allowed extra care, extra things to get in the way of hearing the precious gospel. No, Martha was not wrong for caring and serving the Lord Jesus Christ and the disciples. But she is wrong by being overcumbered. She allowed that over-serving to distract her from the one thing needful. Let's try to get a little picture of what possibly happened in that home to understand why the Lord Jesus reprimanded Martha. And are you Martha? Do you need reprimand tonight? Was it quiet at the table because it was your fault? That in this week, yes, you said you had examination, but you were slothful. You weren't sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's get a little impression, or understanding, I should say, of what was happening in this home to understand it. Martha heard that the Lord Jesus Christ and the disciples had come into the town. And she, we may believe, she went and she said, "Welcome, come into my home." And she received him into her home. And she and Mary prepared food and drink to care for them. The preparations were done. They had some food. They had some drink. It was served. And then comes the difference, congregation, between these two sheep. Between in this bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, we need so much instruction. Because then Mary, where does she go? She goes to sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Martha remained busy with unnecessary things at the moment. Busy, busy, busy with all kinds of extra things. Instead of what, congregation? Instead of what? What do we see in this house that's taking place? Instead of sitting at the feet of the Good Shepherd, instead of sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ to listen to the precious gospel of those comes from the lips of those lips of that precious one, of that beloved one. One thing is most certain. Martha was distracted from the one thing needful, from sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and listening to his teaching. Think about it. May I say it simply? Maybe she was still in the kitchen trying to clean all the counters and clean all those dishes, which she could have done later. No, there's nothing wrong with that. But she took a choice. She was distracted with all those unnecessary things at the moment. Instead of sitting with Mary at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and to be instructed by him, instruction for her soul. My friends, we know when things are absolutely wrong. We know it's wrong to decide, I'm going to go to there or do this or that instead of come to church to use the means of grace. We know it is. Or, for example, may I ask you? We have a cell phone. And we know our cell phone can tell us how many hours we sit scrolling and scrolling. But may I ask you, what would be the testimony of you? Of opening the pages of the Word of God and reading, reading, reading. So to speak, sitting at the feet of the Good Shepherd to be instructed of him. What's the testimony? Is there more testimony in your and my life of being of that silly thing? Maybe not bad things, but just things that distract us from the one important thing, from listening to be instructed by the Word of God by that Good Shepherd. Dear children of God, there's a danger of being distracted also with good things. Doing things for the Lord, being in all kinds of committees, and using all our energy and time in all kinds of things, good things. But, with all these things, being so busy, so tired, so preoccupied, instead of taking time to open the precious Word of God and searching the Scriptures and sitting at the feet, there's one thing needful. My friend, it's wrong to be over-worried. It's wrong to be over-distracted with even good things instead of taking time for your soul, time to sit. He wants to hear your voice, bride. He wants to see you. He wants to see thy countenance as we read in the Song of Solomon. Don't become slothful. Don't become distracted like Martha. Stick close to that Savior. Read his word day by day. Dear children of God, we notice that Martha was busy doing many good things. But in these good things, she neglected something so important. What is so important? Her relationship. Her relationship with the Savior. Of praying unto him. Of being at that place. Of searching his word. Of sitting at his feet. We can be so busy doing so many good things for the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we must be careful that it does not cause us to neglect what's so necessary for our never dying soul, that we would sit at his feet reading his word. My friend, I don't know what you're all doing. I can't see in your hearts, and you can't see in my heart. You can't see in my house every day, and I can't see in your house. But I want to talk to you. With my love for your never dying soul, the things that you're doing, are they a blessing, a help for your soul, or are they a hindrance? All those things that are a hindrance for your never dying soul, I beg you, cut them off. Cut them off. One thing is needful. May I speak to you mothers with all the love in my heart? And I know how busy a mother can be. I saw my mother with 14 children, so busy, and the Lord knows. But may I ask you, are you extra busy? Extra busy making meals? Extra busy cleaning your house? Extra busy with shopping? Extra busy with all kinds of decoration? All kinds of things in themselves not wrong, but so busy that you're tired? You have no time to be like Mary? You're like Martha? One thing is needful, dear mothers, fathers, you. Are you working so hard because you want to have a bigger house? You want to provide more vacations for your family? Are you so busy because you want your kingdom to get bigger and bigger and bigger and a bigger bank account? Dear fathers, please, for your soul and for the souls of those in your household, that you are responsible for your dear wife, for your children. There's one thing needful. Young people, are you also busy working extra, going to school, working, and then extra social activities all day long, busy? Not necessarily bad things, good things, but so busy. Do you come home? You get up early. No time. I need to go quickly. Come home. No time. Maybe a quick prayer, but not opening the Bible, not reading, not, so to speak, sitting at his feet to listen to his word. Children, teenagers, there's one thing needful for your soul. Congregation, we live in a very busy world. Our lives are busier than ever before, and there's so many things. No, not only for the unconverted, but also for us as his dear children, to be distracted from the one thing needful. My friends, do not, please, do not neglect the needs of your dear, never-dying soul. Listen to what the Lord Jesus Christ said in the parable of the sower. Luke 8, verse 14. And that which fell among thorns are they, which, when they heard, go forth, and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. My dear friend, you can gain the whole world, but if soul lost, all lost. Listen to what the Lord Jesus Christ said in Mark 8, verse 36. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Soul lost, all lost. My dear friend, traveling to a never-ending eternity. It's a reflection sermon. It's for all of us. It's for all of us. Listen to what the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew 6, verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. But one thing is needful. And children of God, Martha was a child of God, a dear sheep of the good shepherd. She had tasted, I'm sure of it, of some of those dainties of the fruits of the blessings of the gospel. But she was busy doing things for the Lord Jesus Christ, yes, when she should have been sitting at his feet. Let's sing now from Psalter 255, stanzas 1, 3, and 4. 255, stanzas 1, 3, and 4. Now with joyful exultation, let us sing Jehovah's praise. To the rock of our salvation, loud hosannas let us raise. 255, 1, 3, and 4.
Thank you.
dear congregation, but one thing is needful. And now we come to our last thought. Mary attentive to the one thing needful. We read in verse 39, "And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word." Where was Martha? Probably in the kitchen. Where was Mary? She was sitting at that most blessed place in that home. She was sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. This implies closeness. To sit at the Lord Jesus Christ at his feet implies readiness to accept and to be taught by him and to obey what he teaches. To sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ implies love. Mary had a tender heart. She was a tender little lamb of the Lord Jesus Christ. She was a tender sheep, and she had to sit close at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. She's attentive to the one thing needful. She wanted to be near. She wanted to be where the Lord Jesus Christ was. She wanted to listen to every word that he would say. And we read in verse 42, "But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." May I ask you, my friend, what is the priority in your life? What is the priority in your life? What is the priority in your soul? We make choices every day. And in paradise, we made a choice to live without God. And we need grace to make this choice like Mary with her whole heart. And yet, sheep of the good shepherd, dear bride of the bridegroom, may I ask you, is this your life? Is this my life? Is my life like Mary, or is my life like Martha? Is your life like Martha, or is your life like Mary? Do you choose, do you long to sit near to hear the precious word of God? Can you confess with the poet in Psalm 122, verse 1, where we read, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." Mary is a beautiful example of loving the Lord with a tender fear of the Lord in the heart, with loving him with all her heart, with all her soul, with all her mind, with all her being. She just wants to be near him. She just wants to love him. She wants to feel him embrace every day. She cannot live without him. Children of God, may I ask you, it's a reflection sermon, and yet, are you like Martha, or are you like Mary? Is she an illustration of your life? Would you like to sit beside Mary? Or may I say it, would you like to be in the kitchen with Martha? Where would you like to be? Where would you like to be? Would you like to be at the feet of the precious Lord Jesus Christ? Is his words so sweet to your soul? To hear his voice, to hear him speak to your soul. Can you say, like the poet in Psalm 119, verse 103, "How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth." Do you want to sit by Mary close, to have those precious words come off the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by the power of the Holy Spirit to land into your soul, to be fed with the fruit that is in him? Notice Martha publicly rebuked Mary. What did Mary say? She was silent. She was completely silent, but the Lord Jesus Christ wasn't silent. He didn't rebuke Mary at all. He actually defends her. And he kindly and compassionately reprimands Martha. And Jesus answered and said unto her, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. But the one thing is needful. What is that one thing? We heard something, but let's define it a little more precisely. What is that one thing? What is that one thing needful? It's not something temporary. Why can we say it's something eternal? Because which shall not be taken away from her. Mary will die, but that will not be taken away from her. It's not just something formal, something very religious in the outward form, but it's true, wholehearted godliness. It's leaning, living close to the Lord Jesus Christ, and that will not be taken away from Mary. No, when she dies, then she will even be closer. Then she will be forever with her precious bridegroom. Then she will be able to exalt him. Then she will be forever be able to look upon him and see him, and he will look upon her. No more separation, no more doubt, no more unbelief, no more sin, no more flesh. And Martha also will be. She will also be redeemed. She will never be distracted ever again. She will only have one focus as that whole bridegroom, casting their crowns at his feet, exalting him forever and forever. Oh, what a blessed bride. What a blessed bride. What a blessed people with such a blessed bridegroom. And yet he instructs, one thing is needful. Bride, did you taste a little something? Don't become slothful. Don't become neglecting. Don't live like Martha. Live like Mary. And live in that fellowship that is with God the Father through the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear sheep, how are you living? How will you go forward? You need to go into this world, but not of the world. You have your flesh and all kinds of temptations. Be alert. He says, abide in me. Be watchful, he says. Care for your soul. Care for that relationship with that precious Savior. You need to do everything to arm it, because everything is out in the world to destroy it. But there's something precious. There's something so precious that we may be living like Martha, or we may be living like Mary, but if we belong to him, then he will keep, he will guide, and he will bring home. But you who are living without Christ, oh, my heart at times hurts for you, because I see you traveling to eternity, and you know the truth, you confess the truth. But that's not enough, my friend. You need to see that you are lost. And you need to have that Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be washed in his blood and to be covered by his righteousness. Seek it in him. Seek it in him. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek him with your whole heart. You say, I don't have such a heart. Be honest. Tell the Lord. Confess it. Confess your wickedness, your sinfulness, and beg him. Beg him to give that heart that he has given Martha, that he has given Mary. And Church of God, there's such a fullness in that good shepherd. We read in Colossians 1 verse 19, for that has pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. There's fullness of power to protect. There's fullness of pardon to forgive. There's fullness of grace to justify and to cleanse. There's fullness of wisdom to teach in him. There's fullness of love and compassion to keep, to guide, and protect. And there's fullness of grace. And he who began in your life will keep you. And there's fullness of grace of him, that he will present you spotless before the throne. Why do we live so often, Church of God, like Martha? Why don't we live like Mary, living close, near him, at his feet? What is the means to sanctification? It's his precious word. Open the word. Let the word speak to you. Let the word show you who you are, but beg also to show who he is. Live close to him. Go forward. Live like Mary and beg him for the grace to keep you close to him. And listen to what Job says, as we will end with that. What Job says in Job 22, verse 21. Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Mary had peace. Martha distracted, frustrated. But Mary had peace, as we read in Isaiah 26, verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in peace, in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Church of God, don't be like Martha. Be like Mary at the feet of that precious Savior. Amen. Let us close in thanksgiving. Almighty, eternal Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, oh, may we acknowledge thee for thy precious word, thy word that can make us wise unto the only way of salvation through thy dear Son by the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, remember those who are yet lost. Lord, work mightily, shoot an arrow in their heart, and that they become lost beggars at thy feet. But remember also thy dear children, thy bride. O Lord, wilt thou care for them? Draw them with those cords of love, and that they may be daily like Mary, sitting at thy feet, the close, dependent, submissive life unto thee. Lord, forgive us of all our sins. As a bride, we also stand in ourselves filthy. But oh, may we remember of what we heard in this morning, of those fruits. Oh, may we go home as a precious in that bridegroom, comely in him, washed in his blood, covered in his righteousness. Lord, care for us. Keep us in this week. Help the elders in the coming Lord's Day. Guide us and keep us when we must travel and bring thy word to other places of where thy church gathers. Help there also, and may thy kingdom come. Care for each one of us. Keep us from an unprepared death, and prepare us, Lord, by thy free and sovereign grace to meet thee in peace through thy Son. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Let us close now with singing from Psalter 203, all five stanzas. In sweet communion, Lord, with thee, I constantly abide. My hand thou holdest in thy own to keep me near thy side. 203, all five stanzas. Thank you. congregation receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.